It's good to be here this morning, thankful for each and every one who have found it in their found it in their hearts, and also your busy schedules to be here. I know that with the time change, sometimes it throws us all off. And with going back in time, or going back, not back in time, but turning the clock back about an hour, I don't know, we may want to go back in time. But at any rate, with turning the clock back about an hour, a person either winds up being somewhere early, but then if it's turned up, they wind up being late. So there has to be a common medium there. But we're glad you're here today and thankful for the blessings of God that He has given us. I was really appreciative of Sister Lily's reading and also Brother Ron's. It seems like sometimes we're in a battle. Seems like that we are in a conflict. And I never served in a situation where that I was in a combat situation, but I know in talking to other those that have served, it says like they have said that it's like a constant, never-ending duel between yourself and the enemy. But you know, God has given us access to one of the greatest things that we could have in the day and time that we live, and that's the whole armor of God. And if you go away with nothing else this morning, just remember you have that accessible to you. Paul said to put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in that day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with the truth. God, the Lord said in one place, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, your ambassadors for the Lord when you go out into the world. And then the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And today we have that accessible unto us. And I'm thankful today that God has given us these tools and these things that we can use. They're not a natural or a physical type thing, but they are nevertheless very powerful. He also says in another place to the pulling down of strongholds. Wanted to make this one announcement before that we go into our lesson today. Due to the fact, and I never thought about this whenever that we kind of set the time for the study of the book of Romans, but we're coming up to November, and also the time whenever that we're going to have snow, and now it's going to be dark earlier. So noting how large that Romans is, I hated to give the unabridged edition, if you will. So we're looking at March, whenever that the snow hopefully is gone in that particular time period. And we want to go through it just as thoroughly as possible, March or April, either one. Because sometimes we've had snows in March. So if you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to the first chapter of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. And we're going to start today with the sixth verse. And as we read this, as we look at this, this was not just a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, the very last letter, to a church, but it was to a young minister. And I believe today it's to us, because he was about to pass off the scene. He knew that his time had come. He knew that there was waiting for him a crown of bright glory. But as he thought about what you and I might face, might come in contact with, might have to endure and encounter, And we're going to use this as kind of like a background this morning. In the sixth verse, he says, "Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou," and notice this, "stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." For God, and if you will, remember this, throughout the remainder of this year and the year to come. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, and according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that I've committed against that day. Correctly read for our background lesson, the 6th down through the 12th verses of the first chapter of 2 Timothy. Now we want to look at the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as he preached the sermon, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And this will be found in the 5th chapter. And starting with the 13th verse, he says these words. He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." That's not just for the apostles. That's not just for the Jews and all that were listening to him, but I believe it is for us today, in our day, and in our time. We are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. It's very important. You are very important as being salt in this day and age in which that we live. Ye are the light of the world. Now, preacher, you said that we're salt, but you're also the light of the world, and perhaps the only light that this sin-darkened and moral-darkened world has, you and I. And it says that a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light, that and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is the 13th down through the 16th verses of the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. And our thought will come from both of these sets of scriptures, going from what Matthew penned down that Jesus said, and then what Paul wrote down to Timothy and to us today. And our thought will be you and your life is a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're testimonies. We're living examples. Just the very fact that we're here today is an example unto the world. The fact that people drive up and down this highway, they see the cars parked out in front. And they see us coming and going. They see us here at church, some come. But you know, the real testimony, the real gospel is you today. And someone will say, well, preacher, are you trying to get out of your obligation to stand and to speak the word of God? No, not indeed. But Paul said over in one place, in a letter, he said, ye are living epistles. You are living letters, engraved, written, and read of all men today. And I believe that God saves us for a reason. I never understood whenever that he spoke peace to my heart what my purpose was in the world. It wasn't until years later. But as time goes on, I understand what the calling is. And each and every one of you have a calling. You have a job. And God is depending upon you. He's not depending upon anyone else. He's not looking to anyone else. But that specific thing that he has called you to do, he is depending upon you. He has none other to turn to. He has no one else that he wants to use. He wants to use you. And the Bible tells us over in one place, many are called, but few are chosen. And you are a chosen vessel unto God. You might say, well, I have no talents. I can't sing. I can't do this. I can't do that. But with as many excuses as you give unto God, he can give you that many more reasons that you are to let your light shine, that you're to be a testimony and to use the ability that you have for his honor and glory. Now, Jesus starts out and he says, you are the salt of the earth. Do you know that salt was very precious in that day and time? It was. In fact, some of the military people were paid not so much with gold, but with salt. It was a bartering. It had worth, and it had value to it. And you have value to you. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die for you specifically. Preacher, it says the world. No, it says you because you're a part of the world that he came to save. And salt had value. It has value. You have value today. And we find that when you look at how salt is, it's kind of an interesting substance. When I was in school, and I didn't participate in this, but somebody else did, and I just watched. They would put water out on the sidewalk and throw sodium crystals at it. Now, I don't recommend anyone doing that. I'll just describe what happened. It exploded and flames shot up. I just watched. I stayed out of trouble. I just watched. I shouldn't lie in church, right? But it's a very reactive substance. And chloride that makes up salt is a very toxic substance. But you know, whenever that it's put together, whenever that it's formulated, where the both come together, it has purpose. It has, if you will, purpose for us as human beings. And you know, we have this vessel inside of an earthen, or we have this treasure inside of an earthen vessel. Whenever that salt is brought together, whenever that God, if you will, looks at us, he sees that we're dead in trespasses and in sins, that we're reactive. And he can't use that. And he can't, will not use that. And that also is in us is very toxic. Sin is toxic today. It takes people and sends people into avenues of behavior that, my friend, is detrimental to them in the long run. You know, I would today that people that are in sin could see themselves and the light of the gospel shine upon them. But when God comes upon us, and whenever that he saves us today, My friend, he takes that was reactive, that was toxic. He puts it together. How? He reconciles us at the cross of Calvary. And as the song says, he makes something beautiful out of our life. Something valuable, like what salt is. Not only that, but also something that gives savor, that gives a taste. You know, I've seen people in restaurants, man, they love salt. Now, I'm not allowed to do that, but I mean, they'll empty out the shaker on potatoes or green beans or whatever that it is, because it has a savor to it. It has a flavor to it today. And you have that same thing in a spiritual sense. You have this savor. You have this taste to it today that the world needs, that the world must have. And my friend, it gets them curious and wanting to have what you have. It also preserves. It delays decay. It delays the decay, my friend, of bacteria. And in a spiritual sense, being salt, it delays the decay that sin can cause. Christ Jesus puts it to a halt. But my friend, we're commanded to be salt unto the world. To be, my friend, a flavor unto the world. To be that today that my friend gives a certain taste to it that the world will crave. Jesus said in one instance, in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel, he said these words. He took his disciples apart and he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And of course, they went down the line. You know the scripture, you know it all. But the Bible tells us that he came down to the finality of it and he said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And guess who spoke up? Yeah, Peter. Peter's always ready to speak up. He said, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God." Now, on this occasion, my friend, it was good that Peter spoke up, because Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And he said, "Thou art called Cephas," or Peter. Now, in the Greek, that means Petra. It's a small stone. A little stone. But he said, "Upon this rock, Petros," and that's Greek for a large stone. Which one was he talking about? Building on Peter, a small stone, or building on a large stone? You don't build on a small foundation, else the house will fall. But you build upon a large foundation, a large rock, and that rock is Christ Jesus today. He is the rock to build your life upon. He is the one today that, my friend, will sustain and will hold your vessel together, your life. And I want you to know today that he's still saving souls and he's still calling men to build their lives upon him today. Now, salt is also the only mineral that you can take internally. I wouldn't recommend some of the other ones in the world, but you know, you can take salt into your mouth and it'll not be detrimental as such, but that's how you enjoy that flavor. That's what we want the world to see. We want the world to know about that. He also said that you are the light of the world. You're a city that has been set in this world. It's not to be put up on a hill where it cannot be seen. But my friend, God needs you down here where that the true work of God, the true missionary work of God is, and that's through his church, that's through those that are born again, those, my friend, that have experienced his grace. You are the light, and you may be the only light some people will ever see that would never darken a church door. Light travels at about 180, and I'm not throwing out these things to show you how smart I am. I had to look it up. But light travels at the speed of 186,000 feet per second. if I'm not mistaken. So whenever that light comes from the sun and hits us, you know, and comes to the earth, it has traveled almost instantaneously, just within seconds. And just and they use that speed to measure things with. So you can use it to measure from one distance to the other. They're using it to measure light years of planets that are out there that God has created. But you know what light's main purpose is? It's to illuminate and to contrast the darkness against the light. In the beginning, when God began to create all things, it said, let there be light. It wasn't necessarily the sun, but it was light. I believe it was spiritual light. To contrast the darkness against the light, to show that there is a difference. And we find today that it illuminates the darkness. I used to be told by my parents to go out to the cellar. We had a cellar. And go find some green beans or go find some canned peaches. And boy, I dreaded it because I've seen some of the creepy crawlies that would come out of there. And they weren't too friendly. So what I would do, I'd take a light with me so I could see my way down the steps and maybe I could see if there was anything about to bite me or sting me. And most of the time, they'd all dissipate. But it illuminated the darkness to where that I could see. And I found the green beans and I found the peaches and whatnot. But my friend, today that same light illuminates. Even whenever that we don't see the sun, do you know that the sun is still shining? Even whenever we don't think about the Savior, think about God. God is still on the throne. God is still in command. God is still holding it together by the word of His power. My friend, we are not so much the one that creates the light, but we reflect it today. We reflect it like the moon does. You know that, my friend, because of the sun, that the moon is able to give forth its light. Boy, sometimes I've seen it so bright, it was like daylight. And you know, that's how it is with us. Today, Christ can shine so bright upon us that, my friend, people will reflect that, oh my goodness, what makes this individual different? Oh my goodness, how is it that this person is able to walk in a manner that, you know, he reflects what he says that he is? It's because of Jesus Christ today. And it's just, with us, it's just like the moon. We reflect this into spiritual darkness. And I keep saying this over and over again because, my friend, in the future, things will get very, very, very spiritually dark. I one time went with a friend of mine that was a tour guide in a cave that they had set, or they didn't set it up, but they had a tour of what's called Jacob's Cave. It's way up in the area that I grew up in. And we went down in there one time and went way into the inside of the cave. And the tour guide said, okay, watch this. Flip the light off. And you talk about darkness. You could not even see your hand in front of your face. And you know, after a while, you got disoriented. And you would begin, or I did, begin to stumble. That's how that this darkness is going to pervade this world. As Satan realizes his time is growing shorter and shorter and shorter, he'll do everything that he can to try to blind, to try to keep people in darkness. But that's why Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Now, how is it that you are the light of the world? How is it today that you are the one that gives forth this light? How do we live our testimony to where that light will shine? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us He's called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. That's what Peter says in one place. He's called us out of darkness. Christ's salvation today called us out of the darkness of sin, out of the darkness of the pathway that we were on, called us out of the situation of the downward path into the abyss of hell, but he called us into the marvelous light of Christ Jesus. When a person gets saved, they have Christ dwelling within them. Paul said over in one place, he said, ye that have been saved, you have put on Christ. And that means you have put him on. You have robed yourself with him. The righteousness that you have is the righteousness of Christ. And the light that you have is the light of Christ dwelling within you. And that testimony comes because of the power and the working of the Holy Spirit today. That third part, that third person of the Trinity that we sometimes kind of leave off and forget about, but he's a very important part. My friend, God, first of all, in his great love, wherewith he loved us, saved us, the Bible says. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Who can measure the love of God? Who can even describe it today? My friend, we're bounded by time and by borders and by walls and so on and so forth. But God's love is not bounded today. Did you know that? His love was from the beginning. God loved you when you were yet not even born, not even thought about, before the time ever existed and came into being. God loved you and he saw you. You might say, oh, I don't know if I believe that's a fairy tale. No, it isn't, because it's of the nature of God. He is eternal. He's everlasting. He's from Alpha to Omega. And my friend, one of the characteristics of God is that God is love. What we teach those little children in Sunday school, whatever the case might be, is so simple, but yet it's so profound. How can you measure the love of God? You can't. But my friend, you can see the effect of it. The Bible says he loved this world so much that he gave his only begotten son. My friend, that's the depth of love today. That is a love the world doesn't even comprehend. I can't imagine it today. I know that if somebody took my sons or grandchildren and they tried to do to them what happened to Jesus, I'm not a very big guy and I'm not very strong, but I'll tell you, wild horses would not hold me back from rescuing them and taking them and cuddling them in my arms and in my wife's arms. But I want you to know, God loved this world so much, loved you so much, my friend, that he was willing to turn his back upon his son so that you and I could experience salvation, redemption, and reconciliation unto God. My friend, don't ever think whenever that you're by yourself or alone that you're not loved. You are. You're loved with a great everlasting love. Whenever that he saved us, when he redeemed us, he paid the price that was needed in order to break the power of sin. And when he saves us, my friend, we have a light. God gives us a nature, an inclination, in order to want to do his will. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul said over in one place, and I'll not be able to quote it, he said, the things that I once loved, he said, now I despise. He said, the things that I despise, now I love. I didn't like sitting in church. I didn't like going to church, to be quite honest. But I did it because if I was going to watch a football game afterward and play football out in the sand lot, I went. Otherwise, I wasn't going to get to play or watch anything. But you know, I want you to know, in spite of that, in spite of despising it, God had mercy upon my soul. And one day, that broke through. Oh, I tell you today, my friend, it was like John Newton. Something that I had heard, something that had dawned upon my heart, broke through. And a 17-year-old boy bowed in a storehouse and began to seek God and began to commit it all all unto him, and God saved my soul. And he put a love within there, and he put a love for the things of God. Now I wanted to go to church. Now I wanted the things of God. Now I'd ask people that were Christian people, what do you need done? What about this? What about that? My friend, I want to tell you, that's the light. That's the light of the world. And you might say, well, I can't look like Jesus. I can't act like Jesus or anything. No, you can't. But you let that light shine. You let what Jesus did for you shine forth. And it will get people's attention. It most certainly will. Of Christ living within us. Now, we have a choice, even after that we're saved. We can serve God completely, or we can turn him away and say, well, I'm saved, now I'm on my way to heaven. And you know, God will, he'll honor that. He knew what you were going to do. He knew the choice after that you were saved, what you would do. Christ knew whenever that he had healed 10 lepers, that only one would come back and thank him and want to serve him. But my friend, there's an inclination within all of us after that we're saved. I want to sing to the glory of God. I want to pray without ceasing. I want to understand what this book is all about and what it's teaching. I want my friends to be saved. I want to live a life that, my friend, they can see the difference between what I was and what I am now. A friend of mine sent a video of a singer that passed away a few years ago. And I thought, man, if only he and Chris Christopherson and some others that had this same experience, if they could only have gotten together and just done a program about how they were born again, that'd been great. But they were interviewing him. He was a songwriter. In fact, I met the man years ago whenever that we worked in Gallatin in a pharmacy. And you know, he wrote a song. You've heard it. The Baptism of Jesse Taylor. I asked Dallas one time, we weren't on first name terms by any means, but I asked him, I said, you know, that sounds like somebody that I knew, a distant cousin of mine that got saved. He said, I wish you could know how many cards and letters and phone calls and interviews that people I've had with people that have said, yes, that sounds like my father. Yes, that sounds like my brother. That happened to him. That sounds like my cousin. That sounds like my husband. That sounds like my best friend. My friend, I want to tell you, when God saves, he changes an individual. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Why? Because Christ dwells within us, and we have the capability of letting him shine forth unto a lost and dying world. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 tells us, Paul says these words. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But he said, the life of Christ within me. He said, goes on and he said, and I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. My friend, that's your testimony right there. And how you live that out. My friend, having an integrity that is modeled after Christ. Having not only that, but an honesty of deportment. You know, a way about you, a personality about you that reflects Christ. That's a testimony. And you know, I used to think today that, oh, people don't get up and testify anymore. But you know, there's a lot of them that do influence people by their lives and by the testimony of how that they live. And you know, eternity will tell the tale someday. When we get there and we see somebody that we didn't think was saved, and they will tell us, you know, old brother so-and-so over here, I saw Christ in him. or Sister so-and-so, I heard her praying one night, and I saw Christ in that. My friend, you can have an influence upon people that you can't even imagine today. So as we close our few remarks, you are the salt of the earth. You give it its preserving power today. You are the light of the world. You reflect Jesus Christ unto a lost and dying world. And you know, I dare say this morning. For myself, I know I'm going to have to clean off the globe. Whenever that I see how dark that it is and how far people have gone that need God, but let your lights shine, that they may glorify your good works unto God and glorify God. That's the ultimate purpose, is to glorify God. God bless you is my prayer. Thank you for your kind attention. I hope and pray today that you'll just keep on praying. Keep on looking to God, no matter what takes place, no matter what happens. Go into the closet, shut the door, or do like Daniel. Open up the door and look towards that new Jerusalem. I started to say Jerusalem, but look towards that new Jerusalem that's going to be coming down someday. That new Jerusalem wherein that the light of that city is not a natural light, it's Christ Jesus. Look unto Him today. Look unto Him. Take your comfort from Him today. God bless you, my beloved. I love you all. I thank the world and all of you.